Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So now we're getting power in the hole there. So yeah, we had a great wedding here yesterday. You know, we had a large group of people here. You know, I mean, it was really a snowy, terrible day. But, you know, I'm grateful that some of the churches in the area said, we closed down today. We ain't going to have church today. Somebody asked me, what are you going to do? I said, we're going to have church. You know, I said, I don't care if there's one person there. Me, we're going to be church. If nobody else shows up, we're going to have church. I'll preach to myself. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So, but we had a good wedding yesterday. Ben and Megan, Ben works for us. It's Jeff's son. And him and Megan got married yesterday, and they're off on their honeymoon now. Praise the Lord. Any of you remember back in the days when you got married and, you know, you had your first honeymoon with your new spouse and all that stuff, and life is good. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But we also had some sad things happen this week. You know, when somebody dies, you know, it is sad. We're going to miss them, but at least if they know Jesus, they're in a better place, right? I don't know if you know John Seidler. You know, John, I don't know how old John was. I'm thinking he's probably in his 50s somewhere. I don't know how old John was, but he was recommended. He had a problem in his family life with his wife and everything because he didn't know how to walk with God. And somebody recommended he come here, and he did. And he came out and listened to me preach a few times, and he come up several times to tell me, Pastor, you were preaching directly to me today. All those things you said I'm not supposed to do, that's what I do. And I said, well, you need to repent and get right with God. And so it's been a process, but he has been getting right with God. And then, of course, even last Sunday, he told me, said, you know, I am wooing my wife like you told me again. Said, now that I see what I did, it's a wonder she stayed with me as long as she did. But he says, you know, now that you've told me what to do, I've been doing that. Said, I'm taking her on little dates and taking her out for coffee and little things like that. And said, slowly but surely, she's beginning to trust me again. You know, whenever he first started, invited her to a coffee or something, she thought, no, I don't want nothing to do with you. But I said, just continue to be nice to her and pursue her and everything. And so he did. And of course, she was coming around and she was seeing that he was changing. He was becoming a different man. And everything looked good, even last Sunday. But this last week, he was supposed to call her something and didn't. And so she tried to call him and couldn't get him. So she went over to his house. When she got there, found out that he had had, a massive heart attack, and he was gone. Wow. He went home to be with Jesus, you know. So we don't know when that day's going to happen for none of us, do we? But one thing for sure, we do know it's going to happen. You know, so the main thing is be right with God. You know, when that day comes, you want to be right with God. And since we don't know when that day is coming, we want to be right with God all the time, right? Yeah, I want to be right with God because I don't know when my day is. You don't know when your day is, but we know it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So you want to make sure that you live every day, like I said before. You know, life lived in terms of dying is much more dynamic. Because, like I said the other day, I don't know if anybody remembers, but if I told you that next Sunday at 3:00 was going to be your final second on this earth, that I guarantee that next Sunday at 3:00, you would die. If I told you that, is there anything that you would change between now and next Sunday? Okay, then if there is something you would change, then you better change it. Because you don't know. In fact, you may not have till next Sunday, right? You might not have till tonight. Is that true? Yes. See, we live our lives and plan our lives like we're going to live forever. Don't we? Yep. Yeah, we really do. We don't even think about dying, most of us. We don't even think about it, and we don't want to talk about it. But the Lord says go to funerals more often than you go to parties. And I wonder why he said that. Go to funerals more than parties. Did you know that was in the Bible? It is. Go to funerals more than you go to parties, because when you go to funerals, it will remind you that you have a day coming. And it will change you when you look at that person in that casket. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, nobody knows when that day is going to happen. John didn't know when that day was going to happen or nothing else. But anyway, it happened for him this last week. But I believe with all my heart, John's in heaven with the Lord. You know, nobody knows that but God, but I believe because he was walking with God and he was changing the way he was doing business and he was on the right path. But we also had a pastor friend of, and his wife that came to see us this last week. Spent a couple of days with us. They were on the way to Houston to take a cruise. And we've been to their church several times in Des Moines, Iowa. And they came by and we took them out to eat a couple of times. You know, we had fun talking. Well, I guess it's the second day, maybe it was, that they said that their daughter her daughter, both of them had been married before and had a child with another marriage, but and then I guess they really got saved. They got divorced. And you know how that is when you don't know Jesus, you can't get along with nobody. You know what I mean? But anyway, they later come to know Jesus now. Then while they were married the first time, the pastor's wife, she had a daughter with another marriage. And so they said that after they left to come down here, that one of the grandbabies, grown kids, called and said, Mama, something happened and Mama left in the car. And of course, that morning she called and said, everything's great, having a good day and everything was right. And by the afternoon, the kids called and said, Mama didn't come home. And so they don't understand why Mama don't come home. So we prayed. We were at the restaurant, even having dinner. And we prayed and asked the Lord, let them find the car, you know, and all the kind of stuff that you normally pray. And the next day, they called and said they had found the car. And we asked the Lord to let them find the car. Well, they did. They found the car, but obviously the car had run off of the road, either slick or something. And, you know, if you think you've had eyes here, you know, it really gets bad up there. But I guess she ran off the road, ran into a creek. And I guess, I don't know if she got out of the car. All I know is several hours later, they're trying to get the car out and they find her body under the ice. She's only 45 years old. So, you know, you just don't know, do you? You're driving down the road in your car and you're 45 years old. All of a sudden, in a heartbeat, something happens and you slide off the road into the ditch and you drown in the water and it's all over. You better know Jesus at that point, right? So that's sad. You know, that's so sad. So this couple that was on the way to Houston to enjoy a cruise turned around and went back. And, of course, we finally got an email from them. And they said it snowed on us all the way to Des Moines. So that kind of makes it critical driving, doesn't it? So like I say, you know, maybe God does these kind of things to tell us, if you haven't got everything right with me, you know, if you're not walking in love with everybody, if there's somebody you hadn't called in a long time, you want to call them, tell them you love them. Maybe you ought to do that tonight when you get home. You know that? You know, because you don't know they might not be there tomorrow, right? So, you know, don't put things off, you know, while you're here, because I guarantee you, none of us know what tomorrow holds. We hope we're all going to be here, but we may not. Now then, of course, there is some things. I got some emails this week that were kind of strange compared to what I normally get. But I had one email a man sent me and said, Thurman, I want you to pray for the Christians in Iraq. He said, ISIS has overrun one of the largest cities in Iraq that has Christians in it. The Muslim ISIS, that terrible bunch of people. And said they're killing, beheading, and burning Christians, men, women, and children. And you think you've got problems? I don't think we have any problems. Do you? We really don't. But you know, I hate to say this, but because of our lack of knowledge of the word, we perish. We really do perish. God has given us power over the enemy. I go back and think that one of the pastors that I know, and some of you, I won't call any names, but some of you will know who I'm talking about when I tell the story. One of the pastors was preaching against homosexuality in California. And one day, walking right in was a man with a fairly big coat on, and he walked right down the aisle and right up to the front and reached in that coat and pulled out a six shooter of some kind and pointed it at this pastor at about as close as I am right here to you, about this range. And that man did not panic. He stepped out from behind the pulpit and looked at him and said, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus." That man at this range fired six shots and didn't hit him, not one time. Now, what if he hadn't known those scriptures? He'd have been dead. He'd have got killed right there. This last week, I've gotten more emails about Christians dying. In all ways, you know, regardless of what it is, whether you run off a bridge, you know, whether you get killed by a Muslim or whatever, there's lots of ways that we die. But yet in the Word, when we look at what the Word gives us, the Lord clearly tells us He gives us power over the enemy. So if He gives us power over the enemy, why do so many of us get our heads cut off? You know, I didn't know and understand all this. I remember when here in the Metroplex a few years ago, many years ago, I heard there was a man going to be here that was very knowledgeable about demons. Well, back in that day, I knew very little about demons. So if you know nothing about a subject, you need to educate yourself. And so I, as a Southern Baptist, I invited two or three of my friends from the Baptist church. I said, "There's going to be a man down at a church in Irving that supposedly really has got some revelation on demons. Let's go down and listen to him." "Oh, no, no, we ain't going down there." "First of all, he's not Southern Baptist." I said, "Well, I don't make any difference, you know." I said, "But I want to know about demons." And I said, "In the Southern Baptist church, I haven't learned anything about demons. We don't even talk about them. So at least this guy has learned some stuff. So I want to go see him." And nobody's willing to go with me. So I said, "Okay, I'll go by myself." So I did. And of course, you know, I'm skeptical. I don't know what's going on. It's a big church, probably a whole 1,000 people. So when I come in the back door, I sit way back in the back, way back there. You know, all good Southern Baptists sat on the front row, you know. But, you know, I was skeptical about this thing of demons. So I just sat down back here in the back somewhere, all way out there by myself. And nobody with me that I know, I don't know anybody, until this man starts talking and teaching about the power we have over demons. And he's quoting scriptures that I've read all the scriptures he quotes, but I've never seen them in operation. Now, I've seen the scripture. Like, if you've read the Bible, you know that these scriptures are in the Bible, but you don't know what it means or how to make it work. I've been there and done that, haven't you? Sure, we all have. And so anyway, I'm sitting back there, and he's talking and teaching about demons and the power we have over them, quoting scripture, using scripture, putting up on the board and everything else. And I guess we're there an hour, hour and a half, whatever, long time. And all of a sudden, right up in front of me, probably 10 or 15 rows up in front of me, was another lone guy sitting there. And all of a sudden, this little guy, he just jumps up and starts running toward the front. And then all of a sudden, I thought, what's wrong with this guy? You know, I never seen anything like this in church. And he starts running toward the front, and all of a sudden, he starts screaming, "I hate you, I'm going to kill you." Now, I sure ain't never seen nothing like this in a Southern Baptist church, that's for sure. This is totally new to me. And I thought, what is wrong with that guy? He's screaming, he's going to kill that guy. Don't he know he's in church? You know, we're not out there on the street. So I had no idea. And this guy up front, he's running toward the front. I mean, he's just digging in. He's heading right straight for that guy. And I'm thinking, this guy he just kind of steps out toward the front there. And the guy gets about 20 steps from him, I guess. He says, "I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to get on your face in Jesus' name." And I watched something happen I had never seen happen before in my life. This man that was running, digging in like this, all of a sudden, both hands went back like this, and he went down on his knees and his face on the floor and his hands sticking straight up like that, and he cannot move a muscle. I saw that. I was at that meeting. I will have to say, I was quite petrified, you know, because I'd never seen anything like this. I'd never had any encounters with demons. I mean, Now I've had lots of encounters with demons now, but at that time I had none. And so I will have to say it kind of rattled me. And so the guy come over, and as this guy sitting there on his face right on the floor and his hands digging straight up, it's like two men put him on the floor, got their foot right in the middle of his back and holding his arm like that, one on each side. That's what it looks like. Only I can't see nobody but him. And this guy walks up to him and says, "Now then, what were you going to do to me?" And he can't even talk. Now, what did he say? Is there any such thing as that in the scripture? Okay, let's look at that scripture in Matthew 16, 18. Let's look at that scripture and see what the Lord says there. Let's go back and look. It says, "And I say also unto you that you're Peter. Now, wait a minute. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I want you to see that. That's part of this. If Jesus has given us all power and all authority, and he says the gates of hell, obviously, stealing, killing, and destroying was in that man on the floor, right? So we got to know that he's of the kingdom of darkness, right? Okay, now according to this scripture that Peter and Jesus is talking, he's just got some revelation, and Jesus said, "And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock," what rock? The rock of revelation is what he's talking about. "On the rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," against us. Now then, if we believe this, there's many a Christian that's dead today that would be alive if he understood this principle. But we don't understand. If that pastor that was in California hadn't have known his power and his authority that day, I guarantee at 6 foot range with a 6-shot gun, that nobody could miss a person that far 6 times unless God was standing there directing the bullets. You see what I mean? But anyway, let's go to the next verse. Let's go to verse 19. "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now see, that's just like over in Luke. In Luke, when the Lord says, "Behold my children, it gives me great pleasure to give you the kingdom." So we have the kingdom. Is that right? Yes. If we have the kingdom, then here in this scripture, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom." Now then, if you give me a building out there somewhere, maybe it's 100,000 square feet, and it's got all kinds of big steel doors in it, it's locked up and everything, and I don't have any keys, I can't get in that thing, can I? You know, I might have a building. Somebody give me a building, but if it's a big old heavy-duty building with big old heavy-duty steel doors, and I've built some buildings like that, you can't get in anything. With 8-inch concrete walls, you can't get in there. I mean, you know, you got to have something. You can hardly drive a tank through some of those places I've built before. But they're there. But if I have a little bitty tiny thing called a key that'll fit those locks, and I can go up and I can put that key in and turn it, and I can remove that lock and roll that door up or push it open or whatever. If I have the keys to get in that thing, then I can do anything I want to do with that building if I got the keys, right? Well, did the Lord tell us we have the keys? Yeah, he did. He said, "I'm giving you the keys, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind," whatever who? "Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I've gotten about 3 emails in the last 24 hours from different people that mentioned this very thing. And I think, Lord, first of all, you said in the word, when Peter grabbed his sword, you know, when they come to get Jesus, I mean, Peter's like me, you know, Lord, I ain't gonna let them take you. So he reaches down and grabs him a sword, and that little servant, he just says, whoosh. It's a good thing he ducked, isn't it? Because he cut his ear right off. Jesus said, "Peter, put up your sword. those that live by the sword die by the sword. That's what he said. You know, I thought about the other day, you know, we've had this national figure and he was awesome. We called him the American Sniper. He fought for you. You know, he really did fight for us. He was sent over there by his country to a sniper, to be a sniper to protect the men. And there's no telling how many men that man killed as a sniper. No telling. Nobody knows but God. But you know, he said one day, you know, I have no problem with my God. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I killed those men because I was sent by my country to do that. So I know he doesn't hold me responsible for the murder of those men because I didn't murder them. I killed them to protect people. And you know, that's the way God looks at it. But how did he live? By the gun. That's what he lived by. What did he die by? A gun. That's why that Jesus told us, I'm giving you guys the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. My first experience with binding and loosing was that day in that church down in Irving. When I saw that man run down that aisle and was going to kill that pastor. But that pastor wasn't excited. He didn't run. He didn't do. And he wasn't a big guy. He wasn't near as big as me. But he didn't run. He didn't do nothing. But he did know one thing I didn't know. He knew his spiritual authority. So when he said, and I'll never forget that scene. I can see that just like it was happening right now. There's that guy running down that hallway. The hallways were big like this one is. It's wide. He's running down there and starts, halfway down there, starts screaming, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Have you ever been to a church service like that? And if most of us had, what would we have done? Well, what if the door's blocked over there? You say, well, then where do you want another one? Because I'm going to make you a new one. That's kind of the way we are. Is that right? What I'm trying to tell you today, the Word of God declares that you have been given power and authority over these things by the Master of our kingdom. Is that right? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, has clearly said, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Is that what he said, Tony? So he said, whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Is that what he said? So whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. So let's just say, and I know if you're not up abreast of what's going on in the world, you need to really be aware that there, when we have a president that says we're not fighting against Islam, he's wrong. He is totally wrong. You know, we are fighting against Islam. You know, and it's here. It's a spiritual war. But according to the scripture, if a man walked in and would start to kill us, and instead of doing like 99% of us would do, run or try to get away. Ronnie, did he just tell you he gave you power to bind?
Yes, he did.
I want you to say, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus.
I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus.
Now I want you to say it like you mean it.
I bind you in the name of Jesus, Satan.
That's one more time.
I bind you in the name of Jesus.
I want to hear you say it.
I bind you in the name of Jesus, Satan.
Amen. Roy.
I bind you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I bind you, Satan. I bind you, Satan. Let me hear you say that.
I bind you in the name of Jesus, Satan.
I bind Satan in the name of Jesus.
The reason I'm asking you to do that, because you don't know when that day's coming that you may have to do that. And according to the king, how much power do we have, Ida?
All authority.
So instead of running We need to do what the Master tells us to do, right? Yeah. You know, you need to be aware of the power that you have been given as a child of the King. If the Master clearly told us, behold, it gives me great pleasure, in the book of Luke, it gives me great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Then did he give it to us, friends? Yes, he did. You know, but most of us don't believe that, do we? Most of us don't believe that he's given us the kingdom. And then he says, and whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. You remember in Luke 13, 11, the woman that had the issue, had the boat over? For how many years? The woman was bowed over for 18 years and in no wise could lift herself up. Jesus come up and what did he say? What did Jesus say? Woman, you are loosed. Is that what he said? And immediately what happened? She was loosed. So what was she loosed from? That's right. That's exactly what it was. A spirit of infirmity. All these things that Jesus done, he's trying to show me and you how this spiritual kingdom that we have been given works. I give you this kingdom. So, you know, I get tickled all the time. My daughters here, all my girls that work for me. You know, once in a while I'll walk into the kitchen over here and one will be standing there doing something and I just kind of touch her right there in the back. And you know what nearly every one of them do? What do you think they do? Stand up, girl. Turn your back to me. You ain't waiting until I walk up to you and I just say, right there. Now, if you're not expecting that and I walk up and just touch you like that, you know, that's exactly what most of them do. You know what they should do? This is what I'm trying to get them before they can do. When I walk up behind them and I touch them, the first thing I want them to say is, I bind you in the name of Jesus. They don't have to look, see who it is. If I touch them, the first word out of their mouth to protect them, they need to say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now, then, what if somebody was walking and was fixing to kill you? What if somebody just touched you in the back and fixed to cut your head off? You know, the average person, if I touch you and you scream like that, ah! And turn your back and they say, oh, and they just whack and cut your head off. But instead of screaming, you know, instead of screaming, as soon as somebody touch you, you say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now then, what's going to happen to that person that's behind you? They can't do nothing. They can't touch you. They're bound. But let me tell you something, folks. If you hadn't figured it out yet, I don't care if you're the best Christian on earth. You still got a little evil inside of you. Paul told us all about that, didn't he? The evil that's within me causes me to do the things I do not want to do. So if that power is in you and somebody is going to hurt you, just think, it happened the other day. Well, it's been several months ago. There was a convenience store. Some lady happened to be a Christian lady. Some of y'all may have seen that. A guy walks in with his gun and he walks right up to the woman and says, woman, give me the money in the cash register or I'm going to kill you. This woman says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to put that gun down and get out of here. And the guy dropped the gun and run out the door. Now, you know, how many women do you know that have that kind of faith? But how many of us should have that kind of faith? Men and all. You know, men are the same way. You know, somebody walks in and sticks a gun out there, and as soon as they start screaming, oh, my God, don't shoot, I'll give you anything. What a bunch of wimps we are. I mean, we are a bunch of wimps. I mean, but we are supposed to be who? Who are we? Sons and daughters of who? Of God. And my King gave me and you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever. Whatever you loose. So just like that guy sitting there that day on his face with his hands back like this, the guy talked to him about Jesus. He couldn't move. I have never seen these kind of things before at that point. And he's talking to him, says, "Sir, you know, you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior." And I'm thinking, how could this guy be so cool? You know, didn't he hear this guy saying he's going to kill him? But I'm sitting there thinking, now, who in the world put this guy on his face? Who do you think did that? The Lord's angels. The Lord's angels. Psalms 103, the last two verses in Psalm 103. Let's go there and look at that, and let's see what that says. Psalm 103, the last two verses. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Now, who is he talking about? These are angels. These are angels. Next verse. Bless the Lord, all the works in all the places of this dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Does it have another verse? Or is that the last one? That's it. Right here, he's talking about angels in these last few verses in Psalm 103. What does the first two verses in Psalm 103 say? You want all these things to work for you. You got to be able to do the first two things. First of all, in Psalms 22, in verse 22, what does the very first line there say do? Bless the Lord. Okay. Let's go back up to the first verse, verse 1 and 2, and let's see what verse 1 and 2 in Psalm 103, what does that say?
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, if you and me as sons and daughters of God are going around constantly praising the Lord, blessing his holy name, the world will think you're crazy. That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. Because if the world thinks you're crazy, and then you have a crazy guy running across the parking lot and screaming and saying, "I'm going to kill you," like it's happening, beginning to happen. It's beginning to happen. If you don't know who you are, most, especially women, but some guys are just as bad, but mostly women, the average woman, even as a Christian woman, has so little knowledge of who she is in Christ that if some guy, like any kind of a wicked guy, crazy guy, could be any kind of person, could be running toward you with a gun or a knife or anything else saying, "I'm going to kill you," most women panic. Most men panic. But just like the other day in that little convenience store, when that guy walked in and threw that gun up there and said, "Woman, give me all your money. I'm going to kill you." Hey, they even had that on the news. And said, "What did you do?" She said, "I just commanded him to leave in the name of Jesus," and said he dropped his gun and ran out. Now, does that confirm what the Lord just been telling us? How much power did he give us in... If we bind what? Whatever you bind. So if you walk in, and so these girls, I've been trying and trying. I've been working with all my girls for a long time, and some of them are getting about halfway there. You know, that if they're working, even Kathy once in a while, she'll be up there with her back to me working, doing stuff. She's just busy working, putting labels on stuff and all this stuff. And I walk up and touch her right in the middle of the back. You know, so I'm going to keep doing that until every time I tell her, I said, "Kathy, that's not where I want you to be. I want you." In fact, I had never done this before, Mary, but I'm going to start telling all the girls, the minute you're touched by anybody, the first thing I want you to say is, "I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus." That way, if that's the first word comes out of your mouth, if that's somebody that means harm to you, the Lord's going to make it happen, right? Amen. You have been given that kind of power. "I bind you in the name of Jesus." Say that for me like you really mean it. Now stand up and say that like you really mean it.
"I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus."
Okay. Stand up and bind the devil.
Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus.
Now say it like you mean it.
I did.
Do it again.
I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus.
Okay. Do y'all understand why I'm doing what I'm doing with you today? I want you to have that word. I don't want you to have to think what the word is. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Is that what he said?
Yep.
So, and you may not have time to think about it. You may not have time. But if Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, then if somebody touches you or somebody says anything or you're in a place and somebody does anything that's detrimental to you in any way, you should say, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Is that right, Ida?
That's right.
In the name of Jesus. And when you speak in faith, and that's the secret, you have to speak it in faith. You can't say, well, Thurman, I hope that works. No, it won't ever work for you. Jesus is a faith kingdom. And when he says something, he expects you and me to believe it. But you know, he told us a lot of things in this book that we don't believe, didn't he? But when we believe what he says and act upon what he says, then what happens? You know, I love to tell Mike and Gracie's story because I think how many years they were good Christians, went to church, but they didn't believe the word. That was the whole problem. If I could ask them back in those days, they'd have said, Thurman, well, that's not true. We do believe the word. Well, no, if he believed the word, then him being down on his back for the last 15 or 20 years wouldn't have happened. But he's been down on his back for 15 or 20 years. He's been in excruciating pain over and over. He's got the word of God all this time. He's a Christian all this time. Then he came out here and heard me teach that Matthew 18, 19 really worked. It really worked. Let's look at the next scripture. After we went to Matthew 18, let's go to Matthew 18, 19. One more verse 18. Matthew 18, 18. Let's go back and read Matthew 18, 18. And then go on to verse 19 and 20. Look what this says. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Isn't that something? And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then let's go to the next part of that verse, verse 19. What does it say? And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Is that what he said? You know, it took them all these years. And finally one day, they were working at home, and Mike was down on his back, and they were redoing a texture in their bathroom or something, and he was hurting so bad he couldn't stand it. He finally told her, said, Gracie, honey, I can't go no more. I'm hurting. I just can't do this no more. She said, honey, you know, Thurman showed us in Matthew 18, 19, that if two of us, and there's two of us here, on earth, agreed about anything we ask him for, he'll do it. So why don't you let me pray for you? So she did. And when she prayed for him, and they said, thank you, Lord, for healing my back. Mike has told me over and over, it took how long for you to get healed, Mike?
One heartbeat.
Now, all these years, that power had been there. Just like, you know, I can imagine now, if one of us gets killed by some robbers, Muslim, whatever. Doesn't make it who they are. There's wicked people out there that's not Muslim. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of them, but there's a lot of wicked people. Just, you know, you can't go to downtown Dallas and not run into wicked people. They're there. And you don't know when one of them might want to kill you. You know that? And so what is it that's in that person that wants to kill you that's unique? The demons. Yeah, the spiritual demons of hell. These are what Satan come to do what? Okay. So anytime anybody wants to steal, kill, or destroy, we know who's in them, don't we? Evil, Satan. And that's why the Lord told us, I give you power to bind evil. Whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. And then whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. So just like this guy that's down here with his hands back up and he's got his face flat on the floor and this guy's just talking to him. He's walking all around him saying, you know, what you need is Jesus. And after he talks to him a little while and he's there, now he's got a captive audience. This guy can't go nowhere. I mean, I can just now I can look back and see these two big angels sitting there with their foot on him, holding his hand back up like this, one on each side. And when you got a great big, probably 6 or 8 or 10 foot angel sitting there holding you down, like you ain't going nowhere. He couldn't move. So he finally, now then he's bound him. He's got him bound. He says, okay, now then, since this is evil in you, and I have all power and all authority over evil, because is that what it says? Yeah. Luke 10:19-20. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And it's wonderful, all these wonderful things God give us. And we don't even know it. Most of us don't know it. So he said, now then, I'm going to command these evil spirits to come out of you. So I command these evil spirits to come out of this man and go outside of this church. Get outside. Not they cannot stay. Not one single one. What do these spirits have to do? They have to do exactly what he says. And so they all go. Now he said, now then, sir, that you're totally delivered, I'm going to ask you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But before I do that, I'm going to ask the angels to release you. So, sir, you are loosed in the name of Jesus. And guess what happened? He was loosed. And he sat up and he said, oh, praise God. Yes, I want to accept Jesus. I got to watch that guy accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior right there in the place. But see, we're fighting against a group of spirits that we don't know how they operate. When you can't see them, if you don't know they're there because the Word of God tells you they're there, you can't see them, you know. So when that being walks up behind you, he has to have a man. He can't make you feel nothing. When I punched you in the back a while ago, if there wouldn't have been some flesh and blood here, you couldn't have felt that. But if he was in me and I did it to you to scare you, and that's what they do. And then when you jump or whatever, and then if you do turn around and want somebody standing there with a sword or a gun, you know what most women do, Miss Jackie? They go crazy. They just scream and he kills them. You know? I think of all the stories I have heard in my life about times when people were bound by demons and things happened to them and they didn't have a clue what was going on. But, I mean, many times in my life now since that day, after I began to hear and see how these things operate, I began to, want to learn more and more about demons. You know, and then of course, I began to ask questions. I'd go to my Baptist church and I'd say, is it possible, after I saw that demon in that man, I was assuming he was a Christian, I thought, but he probably wasn't. But anyway, when I see these things do this, then I begin to wonder, is it possible for me or you as a Christian to have one of these things? Is that possible? And of course, you know, I went to my pastors. You know, back in those days, I was not a pastor. I was just a deacon and a Sunday school teacher. So when I'd ask the pastor, is it possible that I might absolutely have one of these things called demons in me? And they all said, oh, no, impossible. Christian can't have one. I said, okay, that makes you feel very good. But there's something there that you think maybe that's not 100% true. So I thought I'd ask some men from the seminary. So next time we had a guy come over and fill in for the pastor when he's out of town and he's going to preach, I just captured him. I said, you know, I've been studying about demons and I want to know, do you think it's possible for me as a Christian to have a demon? And they said, oh, no, absolutely not. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Yeah. So then one day I asked the Lord. Now, this is where you find the truth. Lord, I got to know, is it possible for me to have a demon? Well, he didn't say nothing. So every time I think about it, I said, Lord, I got to know. You said, if I want to know anything, you come and ask you and you'll tell me. So, Lord, I need to know, is it possible for me to have a demon? And now then in his own timing. So anyway, one day I'm studying that scripture in Luke 13:11. Let's go to that Luke 13:11. Let's look at that. Luke 13:11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Now, here was a woman that had a spirit of infirmity. Is that what it says? Yes. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. Now, can you imagine this? This is what I'm seeing here. Yes. Something like that, right? Yeah. This woman's all bowed down like that. And somebody said, isn't that a shame, that poor woman? It's like, have you ever seen people like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have too. So, you know, who would ever dream that they have a spirit of infirmity in them? And according to Jesus, let's see what he did. Let's go to the next verse. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto the woman, what? You are loosed. In other words, from that spirit of infirmity. He's trying to show us how the kingdom works. He showed us over here that, behold, it gives me great pleasure to give you, my children, the kingdom. Is that right? So if he give us the kingdom belongs to us. Is that right? Then he said he'd give us the keys to get into the kingdom, right? So if he give us the keys, that means I got a key to the door. I can get into the kingdom and I can go in there and do anything I want to do in the name of Jesus, right? So what did he say to the woman that was bound up? You are loosed. Woman, you are loosed. And immediately the woman was loosed and she stood up and she glorified God. Isn't that amazing? The power that he's given us as his sons. And then whenever somebody goes to do something to us as a Christian, it's like we don't have a clue what's going on. It's just like Mike and Gracie was. You know, he wanted to be healed. But they had the Bible and they'd read it and read it, but nobody ever told them it meant what it said. Isn't that a shame? If two of you on earth agree about anything, he didn't cut no corners there, did he, Gracie? Anything you ask him for your mate, he said he'd do it for you. But nobody ever told you that it meant exactly what it said. And Mike didn't know that either. So he suffered all that time. Think of the people that have been given the keys to the kingdom and been given the kingdom, and something has happened, and we have been killed, women have been raped, you know, their children have been raped, you know, I mean, murdered, all kinds of stuff, all this bad stuff, and all the time, if we only knew the right words to speak, what could we bind on this earth? Anything. So when the devil comes in, you don't let him do it to you no more, do you? No. You know, it's amazing the number of people that come into an apartment at night and they go in all afraid. You know, thinking, I wonder what's in here when I open the door. You know, if you're a daughter of the king or a son of God, when you walk up to that door, you say, Satan, I bind every demon of hell inside this apartment. I ain't going to let none of you do nothing to me. Now, if you're in there in the name of Jesus, I command you to get on your face right now in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden you hear something, thud, hit the floor. And you walk in there and there's a guy. His gun's laying over on the floor. His knife's laying over there and he's laying there on his face like this. And he's thinking, what happened to me? And you say, now then, have I got your attention yet? That's the kind of power you got, right? Now you say, you demons of hell, that's blind, that's messed this man up. I command every demon of hell to get out here and leave and go far away in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask you to move on this man's heart, convict him of sin, draw him into the kingdom. Now, sir, would you like to invite Jesus into your life? And if he says yes, then you loose him and turn him loose and let him get up and let him accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then get up and have a cup of tea with him. And then let him go home. That's the way we're supposed to live. You know that? Is that the power the king give us, Miss Jackie? I mean, if he said it, this is not some crazy something that I'm teaching you that's not in the Word, is it? It's in God's Word. And if God says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Is that what he said? And you have the kingdom, do you not?
Yes.
All of us have the kingdom.
Yes.
And then when you get them set free, loose them and let them go free. Cheryl wants me to read Psalm 103:20. That's her favorite verse. Oh, it's not?
No, 103:12 is my
favorite. Oh, okay. Okay, Psalm 103:20?
Yes.
Okay, Psalm 103:20. Okay, let's read that. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do this commandments. hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now then, what causes the angels to do what that says? You. You giving voice to his word. So when you say, I bind you, Satan, Grandma, I want you to bind Satan for me.
I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I want y'all to understand this is not some crazy thing that I'm trying to teach you that's not in God's word, is it, Ida? It works, doesn't it? Yes, you know it works, that's for sure. If there's anybody in this place knows it works, it's that girl, I'll say that. She knows it works. Praise the Lord. But, you know, all of us need to know it work. And I want every one of us, you know, there used to be a guy that I worked with. He was a shop foreman at the Chevrolet house where I used to work when I was just a kid. And several men learned that he was so touchy. He'd just go crazy. I don't know what caused him to be like that. But one day I was sitting there in the shop talking to him. And a guy walked up and wanted his attention, so he punched, just like I did you a while ago. He punched him right there in the back in the rib, just when he punched him. When he did, the guy went, threw everything in his hand, just, you know, he just went, it's crazy. What, I mean, he liked to hit me, all kinds of stuff. And when we finally recovered, I said, my gosh, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, I don't know why I do that, but I just do that when people hit. I knew nothing about spiritual things. I knew nothing. I didn't know how to get him set free from that. But now I do know how to get that happen. You don't have to be like that. You can come to the Lord and ask him to deliver you from anything, and he'll do it. And you can get to where you're solid as a rock. I mean, as I learned these things and I walked in obedience to his word, it didn't make any difference where I was, on top of a building, underneath a building, you know, wherever I was. Somebody walked up to me and kicked me in the side. I'm solid as a rock. I never screamed, I bind you in the name of Jesus, because at that time I really didn't realize how much power I really had by my spoken word. But I just knew who I was as a son of God. And I just knew that there's nothing they could do to hurt me. As an airline pilot and everything else, I've walked the streets around the world. I never had any problem with anybody. But when I walked out on that street, I knew one thing. I knew I was the Son of God. And I knew that Jesus lived in me. I knew those things. I didn't understand the binding and loosing at that time. That's been many years ago when I was an airline pilot. But today I do understand this. I do understand what Jesus said. Back in those days, I didn't know the scripture says I could lay hands on the sick and they'd get well either. But I learned that later on. You're glad I did. Because it changed your life forever too, didn't it, Miss Jackie? Yes, you know, I'm glad I learned these things too, because we don't know what's coming to the world. But I believe that the most devastating things and times that we've ever experienced is coming to America. I believe there's going to be people who's going to kill people, people's going to rob from you. And if you're not well grounded in who you are as a son or a daughter of God, you will probably lose your life or your children's lives or your spouse's life in the brunt of all the things that are happening today. I don't know about you, but I don't want to die yet. I'd rather give glory to God. You know, I mean, just think. We take in the old covenant. One day, a king sent a man, a captain, and 50 men out to get a prophet. Said, go out there and bring that prophet in. I want to talk to him. So the captain takes his 50 men. I don't think you need 50 men to bring in one little prophet. But anyway, he sent one captain and 50 men, and they get up there to his house, and he says, man of God, the king wants to talk to you. And that little prophet said, if I be a man of God, may fire from heaven come down and kill you and your 50. And Mary, what happened? It came down and killed them all, didn't it? And so, I mean, one man against 51 men? And he probably didn't even have nothing but spoken word. He probably didn't have a sword. He didn't need it. He knew he didn't need it. You don't need it. So they sent 50 more out. And another captain. And he said, oh, man of God, The king wants to talk to you. He said, if I be a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and kill you and your 50. And what happened to that bunch? They all died right there. Now, if you take a man or a daughter of God under the new covenant, and that's where we live, if he did that for them under the old covenant, Miss Jackie, and now then you're a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's given you the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. If he's given you and me all that, should we have any room to worry about anything?
No.
No, absolutely not. But you got to know that. You got to know it's yours. If you get into fear, it don't work. If you step back, that's what I'm trying to tell you. If I come up and touch you in the back, I want you to say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I want you to say it like you mean it. And if somebody walks up and touches you on the backside like that, and you just say, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and then turn into one of your good friends, they say, what's that all about? Say, you probably wouldn't understand if I told you. You see what I mean? But what were you doing? You were acting on your king's words. If there had been somebody there to do you harm when you said, I bind you in the name of Jesus, at least one or two of them big angels would have put them guys on their face. That's like the night Cheryl and I had not been married very long. And she was coming home. I had been home studying. And she was coming home and she was coming down 26. And all of a sudden, I'm laying there in bed asleep. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to me and says, Thurman. It woke me up. That is the only time I've heard God call me Thurman. Every time he's ever spoken to me before, he always says, son. This time he said, Thurman. And I opened my eyes, and there was a screen, it like of some kind, right there in front of me with Cheryl driving her car down Highway 26, and she pulled off of 26 into a car wash, and she pulled into the car wash. She got out of the car, reached in and picked up the wand and turned around, and a man from each end of that island come rushing in toward her, and then the screen went blank. Man, I punched my phone, her number, and she answered on the first ring. She said, yes, honey. I said, where are you? She said, I'm on 26. I'm fixing to stop at the car wash and wash my car. Yeah, I'm going to get gas and wash my car. I said, not tonight, you're not. I said, I just had a vision of you, two men abducted you. And I said, I want you to get home and come. Don't you slow down nowhere. She said, I ain't stopping nowhere. That's one night I didn't have no trouble with my wife obeying me. That night she obeyed me. I mean, she came home. And then she come home and crawled in bed with me and loved all over me and said, oh, honey, I'm so glad I'm married to you. Let me tell you, she was very glad she was married to me that night. She was so glad that I was in touch with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he saved her life that night because she obeyed. Isn't that something? Now then, has he given us the kingdom? Has he given us the keys to the kingdom? Does the whole thing belong to us? Yes. Whatever we bind on earth is going to be bound where? Whatever we loose on earth is going to be loose. So binding and loosing, I want y'all to start practicing, you know, being ready that if somebody does something, anything goes wrong. And I'm really going to get strong on my girls here now. I'm not going to put up with any more of this. Ah! When I walk up and touch them in the back. I don't know if I've ever done you like that yet or not. But all my girls, you know why I do that, don't you? I'm building you girls' faith up, ready to speak the right words in case it's the wrong person touches you in the back. Right, Ferris? Yeah. You want your wife to be equipped with the best armament there is, right? Absolutely. That's the way I want mine equipped, too. I want mine so equipped that if something or someone touches her, the first words out of her mouth, if she can't see what it is, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And therefore, if it happened to be the enemy, if it's not the enemy, then no problem. If it's just a person, no problem. But if the first words you speak, and with what we're coming upon, with the crazy things that are happening, you may get only one chance to speak that binding. And if you have to turn around to see who's there, and then you do it, it may be too late. Because these people over there in Iraq, I feel so sorry for the men and women and their children that are cutting the heads off of people. They're burning their bodies. And those people are Christians and they don't have this knowledge that we're having. But I just felt like I've not taught on binding and loosing in a long time. And I just thought after getting three or four emails last night, yesterday, and then everything that happened this week, I thought this is the time to bring the people up to par, that you have been given the kingdom and anything you bind is going to be bound. Anything you loose is going to be loose. So you need to get a hold of this and you need to start believing this. So when you speak in the name of Jesus, it will bind the enemy and he will not be able to subdue you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Now we're going to take communion. Praise the Lord. Now then they're going to pass out communion. We're going to take communion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. While they're getting communion out, Lons, I want to hear you say, I bind you, Satan.
I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. He sounded like he meant that. You know that? We all need to really start practicing that. Yeah. Peggy, while they're passing that out, I want to hear you say that, girl. Woo, she believes it. I'm telling you, that girl believes it. But you know, we have to believe it. We have been given the power over the enemy in this kingdom. Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. Yeah, let me have one. Yeah, we ask you to take a cracker. And some juice, praise the Lord. Yeah, you can break off your own piece of bread, whatever size you want. Dave always does a good job of talking about this, and the Lord tells us clearly in his word, as often as we do this, do it in remembrance of him. So that's what we're doing. We're doing this in remembrance of him. He paid the price for everything. He's the one that gave us power to bind and loose. Isn't that wonderful? He's given us this power. We have been given the power to bind and loose in the name of Jesus. But you got to believe it. Just remember, you got to believe it. You know, now don't, if one of you girls were to ever go through one of these things and bind the enemy, and then you heard a thud in your house, you walked in and there was a guy on the floor. Don't you dare say, I can't believe this, and scream and run out the other door. Oh my goodness gracious, because if you do, the guy's going to get up and chase you down. You know, you don't want that, do you? No. In other words, if the Lord calls us soldiers, in his word, and he does. Do you know when I became a soldier to go to Vietnam, if they had just taken me and inducted me into the military and said, okay, here's your gun and here's your knife and here's your parachute or whatever, and we're going to take you over and we're going to drop you out over Vietnam, and then it's you're on your own. Wonder how long I would have lasted, Tony.
5 minutes.
5 minutes, maybe. I might have hit the ground. But I wouldn't have known anything. But they didn't. They trained me. They trained me how to be a soldier. They trained me how to fight. They trained me how to kill. They trained me how to do everything you're supposed to do in the secular world. You know, I finally got to where I went at 100 yards. 100 yards is a long ways. Back in the days when I was there, we had a possible 300. If you hit in the bullseye, every time out of every shot and everyone in there, you could get a perfect score of 300. I shot a consistent 295 to 299. You did not want to mess with me if you're out there, because I could knock your eye out at 100 yards, I guarantee you. You know, but you know, if you're a soldier and you can't hit, you know, what are you going to do? In fact, this American sniper, this guy's one of the best shots in history. You know, this guy a mile away had killed men. You know, I mean, it's just awesome to think how good a shot he was. But that's what he was trained for. He was trained to do that. Now, I'm certainly glad I don't have to do that no more. I don't want to do that no more. But I'm going to be in this battle until Jesus takes me home. Is that right? Yeah, I'm going to be here and I'm going to be in this battle. And here, since I know this battle is complete, it's going to be never complete until he takes us home and takes us out. So we're going to have to fight spiritual battles until we die. I just stand in awe at the battles. And so anytime a pain or a symptom comes upon you, and lots of people die with heart attacks, because if you've never read the book Hung by Your Tongue, that's a good book. You read that? Yeah, it's a good little book. In fact, that doctor He said that everybody that ever come to his office, whenever he come in with pain in her chest, my first question, do you believe you're having a heart attack? He said, everybody that said, I believe I'm having a heart attack was in some stage of a heart attack. But everyone that said, no, I have a good heart, I think it's something else, I don't believe I'm having a heart attack. He said, not one single one of those people had a heart attack. So you're hung by your tongue. So when the enemy starts coming up on you to put a pain or a symptom up on you, what should you say to him? I bind you, Satan. I command you to get your hands off of me and get out of my body in the name of Jesus. I was healed by my Savior on the cross, so you have no authority over me. Get out in Jesus' name. And then begin to worship and praise the King. And just like that man that stood right here a few years ago and said, he was an elderly man, and he said, I was having a symptoms of a heart attack. And he said, I just got up and I rebuked the enemy and told him, I said, Lord, I don't believe I'm having a heart attack. It feels like I am, but I ain't going there. He said, I'm going to believe your word instead of what the symptoms. And he said, just in a few minutes, all my pain went away. And that man's still alive and well today. He's in his 80s. Wow. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the bread. We bless it to you, and we eat the bread in Jesus' name. Amen. And Dave explained the third cup. We're going to take of the cup of redemption. We've been redeemed. And after we were redeemed, we were given the kingdom, Ronnie. It's yours, isn't it? Whatever you bind on earth, whatever you loose on earth, it's yours. You have the keys, right? Thank you for the blood, Lord, to give us all that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. This week, I want y'all to think about this message today, binding and loosing. I want you to prepare yourselves. I want you to start saying what you're supposed to be able to say. I don't want you to even have to think about binding. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. If something comes up on you or anything happens, even if you're driving down the road and it looks like you're going to slide off the ice, say, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Command you to get out of my car. Exercise the power and authority that you have. If you get a pain or a symptom, I don't care if it's in your foot, your head, your heart, wherever, take authority over that thing. Command the devil to get out of your life. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus came to give you what? And give it to you more abundantly. Okay, so Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you, Lord, that you are the mighty God. And you're the one that give us this kingdom. You're the one that give us the power to bind and loose. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And you said the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. So we thank you for giving us that power. Now, Father, we ask you to send people that know these things to these Christians in Iraq and all other places in the world that don't know these things to teach them the principles so they'll be able to loose and bind the devil over there so they'll be able to live a long, healthy, prosperous, successful life also. And Lord, I thank you for blessing those people and showing them the truth just like you've showed us from your word. Thank you, Father, for blessing us and giving us a great week this week that we may go out and do great things for your kingdom this week in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.